The title that we have is Creating Simcha for Your Friend. Now first let's discuss why am I creating Simcha for my friend? Obviously in the next 35 minutes I want to talk about what Simcha is. But I understand that I have to create it for myself. Why do I have to create it for my friend? Rabbi said there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says, Im lamadata toira harbe, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, ki lakach notzarta. Now literally that means, Im lamadata toira harbe, if you learned a lot of toira, al tachazik toiva la'atzmacha, don't let it get to you, or don't let it, don't feel as if you have it all and you've accomplished. Ki lakach notzarta. That's why you were created. Now that's the Poshet Pshat. I think it's from the Radomska Rebbe that I saw a life-changing Pshat. You might want to look to have a better appreciation. You're sitting in yeshiva and you're learning. There's nothing as good as learning. Ein toiv ela toira. So you know what the Mishnah says? Al tachazik toiva la'atzmecha. Don't keep that toiv. Don't keep the Torah for yourself. Share it with others. You want to know why? Ki lakach natzarta. That's why you were created. You don't live in a bubble. You don't live in a vacuum. And you can't be a selfish person. Im lamadata Torah harbe, if you're privileged to learn in a yeshiva. And we just said that anytime you see the word toiv, it means toira. Al tachazik, which means don't hold. Don't hold that toiv, that good toira la'atzmacha. Don't hold it for yourself. But share it with someone. Ki lakach natzarta. That's why the Ribbono shel Olam created you. And that's why I told Rabbi Fried that I very specifically chose the topic for this last class of the Learnathon. The theme has been Simcha. I'm taking the approach, or I should say we, I don't do anything on my own. We're taking the approach, sharing that Simcha with a friend, and if you should ask me, why? Why do you have to share it with a friend? I mean, I'll be a nice guy. The answer is, I just told you, you have no right to keep it to yourself. Now that doesn't make a difference if when you grow up you're going to be a Rav or a Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, a Menahel, a beautiful Balabas. Whatever you do, you have to spread the Simcha of Torah. You have to spread the goodness. That's the title. Sharing it with a friend is what it's about. Sometimes a person hears that and thinks, first of all, they want to know how to do that. And then once they're told how to do that, like I'm speaking to Bochram, I'm speaking to 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, I'm speaking to high school, maybe even some other grades. Lemaisa now, not in 15 years. What can you do to spread that simcha? So the first thing I want to tell you, most people miss the following concept. There's a story that they say over that somebody asked his Rav the following question. He sent him an email. Now, I'm not talking about modern technology and emails, and that you can certainly speak to your Rabbeim, and they'll tell you what isn't acceptable in the Gedarim. That's not the point of the story. So he went ahead and he sent his Rav the following email. Why is it that in Yiddishkeit, like, sometimes the small thing is made into such a big deal? You know, like there's that halacha, you got to put on this shoe first, then the other one, tie the other one back to the first shoe. Like, it's a small thing, like, is it such a big deal? And he asked a few questions, like, why does Yiddishkeit make such a big deal out of these things? And he sent this off to his Rav. About 6 weeks went by, and he didn't get an answer. So he then sent another email, and the second email said, I'm going to assume, Rabbi, that if you didn't give me the answer, it's because obviously I asked such a good question, and it's a question that clearly you don't have an immediate answer for, and that's why it took you 6 weeks to get back to me. I see that I've stumped you with my question. He sent off that email. 2 minutes later, we'll say that the guy's name was just making up a name. Let's say his name was Robert. He gets an email. Robert, what? You didn't get my response 6 weeks ago? I answered you 6 weeks ago, right when you asked me, like, why are you making such a big deal out of the little things? I sent you the answer then. You mean for 6 weeks you didn't get my answer? I sent it. I really did. But I don't understand. He says, let me just double check. The email address that you told me to send it to was robert.goldstein@aol.com. I see now that when I sent it, I actually sent it without the dot. I sent it to Robert Goldstein, not dot Goldstein, at AOL.com. You didn't get it? You mean to tell me that I left out a dot and I sent it to Robert Goldstein instead of Robert.Goldstein and you didn't get my answer for 6 weeks? Oh, I guess, my friend Robert, that leaving out a little dot makes a big difference. And he didn't need to be told anymore. He understood the answer very clearly. His question was, can a little thing make such a big difference? And he answered him very clearly. You mean I sent it to the wrong email address? I left out a dot? And that means it didn't get to you? Who knows where it ended up? So the first thing that I say to someone who wants to know about sharing Simcha with other people, and sometimes I'll get asked that question, it takes something extravagant, it takes something very big. I want to tell you, no, it doesn't. Just think of the story I told you, the dot. By that I mean, a little thing makes a very big difference. Most people, unfortunately, don't chop that. But a little thing, especially for a yeshiva bacher, for someone who's in high school, someone who's in Beis Medrash, and someone reaches out to them or shares something with them, even though you might think it's just a dot, it makes all the difference in the world. It could be that you understood the Tosfos and somebody else didn't, and you take out 20 minutes to share that with him. It could be that you notice somebody's looking a little bit down, and you actually take time to ask them, what's the matter? It could be that when you go home or wherever you are, you have the ability to invite someone to a Shabbos Suda or to a Yontif Suda. Or maybe you are going somewhere shopping and you offer that you'll get something for the person. Or maybe you're playing ball and someone is not as excellent as you are and you still go ahead. And you still go ahead and take time to help that person. The first thing you have to know about sharing Simcha with someone else is the dot makes a very big difference. And even though to you, you may think, but I just helped him with 5 minutes here or 5 minutes there, to that person, it makes a world of difference. And if you, by the way, want to know, you think I just told you a cute story about Robert Goldstein without being able to back it up, you can actually base it on a Rashi. A couple of weeks ago, we had the menorah being shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Atomore Bahor. Rashi tells you what the difference is with Nekudos, whether it's More or Mare. Rashi tells you, you have to know, in one case it means that you are being shown, or that you show it to others. You could look at the Rashi there. When Rashi finishes, you find this in parentheses, so it's worth looking up. Rashi says, one has more or mare, one is a komatz, one is a patach, it's a small nekuda. Rashi says, shehanikud mafrid bein oisa lenase. Now literally what that means is, the nekuda, whether it's a komatz or a patach, tells you whether oisa or nase, whether you're showing it or whether it's shown to you. But I spoke a few years ago at an Aguda convention and I said a different pshat, and somebody came running over to me and shared this gem with me. Maybe Rashi's also teaching us in life, shehanikud, the small dot, mafrid or mafrish, there are two girsos in Rashi, bein oisa lenasa, whether you're a doer or whether you sit back and you get nothing done. Shehanikud mafrid bein oisa lenase, or you could see, I told you there's two girsois, mafrid or mafrish, but the point is clear, that it's the dot, which is literally what a nikud is, that makes the difference between someone who does and someone who sits back and doesn't do anything. And so the first thing I want to tell you about sharing simcha with others is, lekach natzarta, that's why you were created. You don't live in a bubble. The next thing I want to tell you is that any bachur can do it. A bachur who's highly popular, not as popular, a bachur who's exceptional in learning, a bachur who's not as exceptional in learning, it's irrelevant. The dot makes all the difference in the world, and if a person has the ability to help somebody with a toisvis, or help them in a ball game, or ask them what's wrong, invite them for a suda, go for a walk with them, schmooze with them 5 minutes, it brings simcha to someone else, and that's a very big deal. Our gedolim always seem to get it right. They understand that you have to bring simcha to other people. There's a maisa with the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Zeicher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. Years ago, when he was the Rosh Hashiva of Lakewood, you may or may not know, on Shabbos, he was in the yeshiva, but on the weekdays, he was in Borough Park. That's where he lived, in an apartment in Borough Park. There was an elderly man who lost everyone in his family during the Holocaust, during the Second World War. He used to walk around in Borough Park, and you could imagine that it was so... I can't even say so difficult, so impossible for him. He used to walk around having lost everyone and everything. And Yiposha did not know how he would continue. He said, what gave me strength to continue is that every day somebody would stop me and schmooze with me, and he would build up my spirits. I felt like continuing. You know who that was? That was Reb Aaron. Because Reb Aaron understood, ki lekach natzarta. And I kept on living because Reb Aaron gave me chizuk. He says that one day Reb Aaron told him, you'll remarry and you'll have a daughter, and I will dance at her chasana be'ezras Hashem. He said, I was the happiest person. I remarried, I had a daughter, and she became my whole life. Around the time she was 10, the Rosh Hashiva, the prince of the Torah world, Reb Aaron, passed away. He was Nifter. I was devastated because he said he was going to dance at my daughter's chasana. About 10 years later, he says, when his daughter became a kala, it was the middle of the first dance of the chasana. And Reb Aaron's son, Reb Shneur Cutler, came and he danced away with the kala's father. And when the first dance ended, the man was so happy that Reb Shneur was there, but he didn't understand what Reb Shneur was doing there. They didn't have a particularly close relationship. He may not have invited him. He didn't want to bother Reb Shneur. So he went over and he said, what are you doing here? I was so excited. We danced together, but what is the Rosh Hashiva doing here? He said, 10 years ago when my father, Reb Aaron, he's talking about, was about to be Nifter, he called me and he told me a number of things before he passed away. And one of the things that he told me was, there's a man that had a daughter and I told him I would dance at her chasana. That's obviously not going to happen because I'm about to be Nifter, so do me a favor hears the man's name. Take down the name, and when you hear that his daughter becomes a kala, make sure you go to the chasana and you dance at the chasana in my place. Do you understand? You could be in high school, but you could understand. Reb Aaron was running the world. And what did he have on his mind before he was nifter? Whenever the girl becomes a kala, dance at her chasana. Im lamadata toira harbe al tachazik toiva la atzmacha ki lakach matzarta. You don't live in a bubble. The gedolim get it. You have to make other people happy. And we've already given multiple examples of how to do that. A few weeks ago, there was a maisa that was printed in one of the papers, in one of the Jewish papers. Subsequently, I had a chance to say it over multiple times. There was a dinner a few years ago that a certain balabos was speaking at. Maybe there were 400 or 500 people at the dinner. And he was happy with the way his speech was going. So at the end, he said, if you like the way the speech is going, take down the following number, 718. He gives the number. He says, call that number, it's my mother, and tell her that I spoke well. Now let's say there were 500 people listening to that speech. 499 did what everybody does. They clapped, they thanked him, they thought he was cute, he gave his mother's number, and they went on to eat dessert. There was one person who actually took down the number, and he had to take down the number quickly because it was only said once. And that night, that person called the speaker's mother, and let's say the lady answered the phone, Mrs. So-and-so. He introduced himself. He said, hello, my name is Shmuel Kamenetsky, and I want to tell you how well your son spoke. Now, if anybody has heard me speak before, if you've ever davened in a shul that I daven in, as often as I can say over Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky's story, I grab them. Because they're always life-changing stories. I actually just spoke to him 2 days ago and I told him that I have not stopped saying over that story. Everybody heard the same thing. But one person took down the number and actually called at night, my name is Shmuel Kamenetsky and your son spoke fantastic. Now, I know this is a true story, A, because it was printed, but because I very often speak at a public place that Reb Shmuel is at. And whenever I come home from whatever city I'm in the next day, my mother will tell me, oh, I heard this is what you spoke about and you spoke great. I said, how'd you know? She said, what do you mean? Reb Shmuel already called to tell me. That's what makes, and by the way, after I said this over in shul about a month ago, on Motzei Shabbos, my mother called me and said, what's going on? What'd you speak about today in shul? Half your shul has been calling to tell me it was a great drasha. So I said, well, and I told her what happened. I told that part to Reb Shmuel as well when I spoke to him a couple of days ago. You see, that's what it means, ki lekach natzarta. It's easy to spread the simcha. You've got to care. I remember Partners in Torah, which is a great Kiruv organization, has a saying, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. You may know a lot, and that's great, but what I want to know is that you care. Im lamadat ha-Torah harbi al tachzik toivah la'atzmacha ki lekach natzarta. If you leave this learnathon, and every person will take upon themselves from all the shiurim, but from this one as well, you know? There's somebody I can help with the toisus. Somebody I can help become, enjoy recess or the time off more. Somebody I can just go for a walk with or I can cheer up. It's just a dot. And our gedolim seem to get it. And by the way, perhaps the nicest part is, not only does it bring simcha to your friend, but the world takes notice. A number of years ago, one of the great Gedolim, Rabbi Avram Palm, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas, was a little bit before he was Nifter, he was going to speak. And they wanted to hang up flyers on the trees up and down his block. But he said, you have to first get Rishus from the people that are living there that I could hang it up, that you could hang up the flyers. So the people went to this neighbor, that neighbor. They wanted to hang it up a few doors down on a tree. It was a tree in front of someone who lived a few doors from a palm. He wasn't Jewish. He was actually a black person. He was an African American. But Rav Palm said, you have to do it. So they did it. I said this over on Motzei Shabbos in Toronto with Rav Palm's son sitting right here. A Choshev Rav in Toronto. So they knocked on the door of this black person. And they started to explain, you have a neighbor who's a great rabbi, and he wants to, we want to hang something on the tree. Do we have your permission? And he says, my neighbor, the great rabbi, Rabbi Palm, he says, come into my house. He brings them into his living room or dining room, and there on the wall, he had hanging a picture of Rav Palm. Now, I don't know where he got it from. I don't know if it was from Eichler's or from which farm store. And this isn't to promote one store over another. But the point is that he obviously was so impressed and moved by his neighbor that he had a picture of Rav Palm hanging in his home. Because if a person can have simcha, and if a person has a talent, ki lakach natzar, to share with others, you'll make them happy, and the world will take notice. You've got to learn from the Rabbaran Maisa, the story with Rav Palm, and Yibodel ben Chaim l'chaim, what I told you from Rav Shmuel. Now let's take this to the next level. Maybe so far you fully understand it's, I can do it, it's within my reach, it's the things I've mentioned until now. Now I want to take it one step further. I actually saw this vart. I know Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsburg is very loved all over, certainly in the Chavetz Chaim circle. I actually heard this from him. I think he got it from one of his balabatim. Rashi says that when we were in Mora, we were given three mitzvahs, Shabbos, Dinim, and Parah Aduma, before Kabbalah Satorah. The kash is obvious. If I would ask you if you need as a prerequisite to Torah, which means before Kabbalah Satorah, do you need to know Shabbos? Yeah, Shabbos I understand. Dinim I understand. Dinim means that you have to have a judicial system, you have to have a system in place. But Parah Aduma? You're sitting in yeshiva, you know Parah Aduma very well. Parah Aduma I need to know before Kabbalah Satorah? The other two I understand. Why do I need to know Parah Aduma? So Rabbi Zev Ginsburg says over, I think he heard it from someone, can anybody here tell me what's the uniqueness of Parah Aduma that you don't find anywhere else in the Torah? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's really nice. You're doing somebody a terrific chesed. You're sprinkling something on him to make him tahar. But what is so unique about it? Yeah? You know, there are a lot of psukim in the Torah that tell you to be nice. And certainly many others. Parah Aduma is unique in the sense that while the Torah is telling you to be a nice person, the Torah is also telling you it's going to cost you. Because even though it's making the person Tomei Tahar, you who are Tahar may very well become Tomei. So are you still willing to do the Chesed? Are you still willing to bring simcha to somebody else like I've spoken about the last 25? Are you? The Ribbono Shel Olam says if you want to have a Kabbalah Satorah, you got to know three things. Shabbos, Dinim, and Parah Aduma. And we asked the Shaila, why Parah Aduma? Why is that a prerequisite to Kabbalah Satorah? The answer is obvious. Because it's the only time you find in the Torah is telling you, be nice and do chesed, but it's going to cost you. Sometimes people are very good at doing chesed exactly if it fits in. Let's say we have a yeshiva bacher. They may be very good at doing chesed when it's a convenient time. Let's give specifics. I don't know what goes on in yeshiva. I'm just imagining. It's a specific time. Now is a time that I am not doing anything else. But maybe an inconvenient time would be I just got a 30-minute break. Maybe we're easy doing chesed with certain people. I like him. You see, he's with it. He's good in learning. He has a great shot in basketball. I like spending time with him. But the other person who's a little bit maybe of a lo yutzloch, he's not as good in sports and he's not as good in learning, I have a harder time doing chesed with him. You know what? That's not para aduma eske nature. Para aduma chesed means at a time that's not so convenient and with someone that may not be exactly like you, you got to do chesed. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you want to know about the Torah, I got to tell you three things. There's Shabbos, there's Dinim, and there's Para Aduma. Para Aduma is unique in the sense that it will help somebody else, but it's going to cost you. When we finish in a few minutes, ask yourself a question. Do you do chesed? Do you help somebody else who's in your shir that's para aduma-esque in nature? And every adult should ask themselves that same question. Because to help the person at a time that's easy for me, and because I really like you, I think you're cool and you're amazing, that's nice, but that's not para aduma. Para aduma means I'm willing to help you even at a time that's not convenient. I'm willing to do something even if it's going to cost me. And that's the next level of spreading simcha to other people. It's realizing ki lekach natzarta. It's realizing it takes the dot. It's realizing to emulate our gedolim. And it means even if it's not so easy. I have to tell you something. I'll tell you the truth. I know the pshat I just said is powerful. It's not my own pshat. I can't take any credit for it. Last week was the first yard site of a young woman who passed away. She passed away last year. She was originally from Scranton, then a Rebbetzin in Cleveland. A family that I grew up with, I know the family very well. So last week, when it was her first yard site, her friends arranged on the phone a teleconference where hundreds of people called in from around America to hear a shiur about a certain concept, and it should be Le'ili Nishmasa, this young woman that passed away. I had the privilege, knowing the family from Scranton so well, of giving the shiur, and I said over this vart, and I gave everybody the following challenge. Do something to show that your chesed is para aduma-esque in nature. 3 days later, I was getting multiple phone calls from the leaders who arranged the event, and they were getting calls, their phone was ringing off the hook. I cannot tell you how many stories where the people said like this, I want you to know, somebody asked me for a favor, but I was about to run out because I had, but I stopped. And I said, I want to be para aduma-esque in nature. And that type of call and story happened dozens, if not hundreds of times. I am speaking to so many Bochrim in high school and other grades who are Choshev Bochrim. I'm leaving you with the same challenge to do something that's para aduma-esque in nature. We're talking about bringing simcha to others. There's no simcha that you can help somebody with like helping them in learning. Let's face it. There are things that make a person happy, but nothing like learning. And maybe as a result of this speech, you'll not tell me, you'll tell Rabbi Palgan, you'll tell Rabbi Fried, you'll tell Rabbi Bergida, you'll tell someone, you know, I was going to run, or I wasn't going to give this person the time of day, and I stopped, because I want to be para aduma-esque in nature. There's a vart from my father, Zatzal Harav Mordechai Shapiro, that I just want to start concluding with. It's not something that's past Bochrim to listen to. The Hebrew word to be alive is neshama. Neshama means to have a soul. The Hebrew word to be literally desolate, void, is neshama. You can look in the Haftarah of Parshas Poro, you'll see the word neshama about four times. Eretz neshamais. Now, does anybody want to ask my father's question, having just told you what neshama means and neshama means? Does anybody have a question? Anybody want to attempt a question? Yeah. What? Neshama means that a person's alive, and neshama means that a person is literally barren, literally void, empty. So my father asks the shaila, what? What's your name? Who are you? From where? Two words that are literally identical, the same four letters, Nun, Shin, Mem, Hey. And one means neshama, and one is neshama. One means I'm alive, and one means like, just the opposite. How could that be? Four letters that are identical, and like you just said so beautifully, identical, nekudos almost, and it has such different meanings. So my father said, and maybe if you watch the hands, it's a little bit easier. What's the difference between neshama and neshama? Under the shin of neshama is a kamatz. Under the shin of neshama is a patach. You see, my friends, a patach looks like this. It's a line. A kamatz is when you put a little support under it. And when you give somebody a little support, you create a neshama. I want you to know something. There are many people, and I'm talking about yeshiva bachrim. They might be learning in town, they might be learning out of town. If they don't feel that their chaverim care about them, they feel like neshama. They may look happy, and they may look like they're very athletic, but they're away from home, they're missing their family, they don't have a big group of friends. When they don't have support, they feel neshama. If you just add a little support, like I just showed you with these letters, you create a neshama. If you leave here tonight from this fabulous learn-a-thon, and you're willing to create a neshama, show somebody a little support, it will make a tremendous, tremendous difference. I want to give everybody a bracha. These are mamish the days of simcha. These are the days of mishenichna sadar marbim b'simcha. I'm sure you've heard that word multiple times throughout the course of the day. And this year is a double adar. The title was Sharing Simcha with Others. It's not enough to learn and not enough to have simcha. Im lamada to Torah harbe al tachzik toiv la'atzmacha. Don't keep it to yourself. L'kach netzarti. You got to share it with people. And if you ask me, but I'm not. You are. It's the nikud. It's the dot. It's leaving this drush and going over to somebody in a day from now and saying, can I help? You look a little down. What can I do? And mean it, by the way. Don't just be cute. It's remembering that a man wanted to continue living because Reb Aaron stopped. And it was so important to Reb Aaron that he told him Schneier to go. It means remembering all the things our Gedolim do, the small things impress everybody, including non-Jewish neighbors. It means letting somebody know that you care. It means being para aduma esk in nature. But I was just running out now. But it's not such a great time. Thinking in your mind, he's like not exactly. Para aduma helps you with Kabbalah Satayr. It's that simple. I give every one of you a bracha that there are people who need support. They might be, it could be anybody. People need to know that somebody cares about them. Leave here and create a neshama. Leave here and find somebody who needs help in learning or help in any area and help them. And I give every one of you a bracha as the learn-a-thon is now concluding. It's spectacular what you did today. But if tomorrow you're the same like you were today, then that's all it was. It was spectacular today. That would be a shame. Let it be life-changing. Let it be that all the people that you heard before me, there's something you took out and you're going to become a better yeshiva bacher. And in that schus, let the Ribbono Shel Olam say, Ki lakach natzarta, You get it. You are spreading simcha to people who are not as fortunate as you. And in that zechus, since para aduma is a prerequisite to Kabbalah HaTorah, and there's nothing as toiv as learning Torah, just as a simple person, I'll give you a bracha. The more simcha you bring to others, you should be stark, stark matzliach in all of your learning. Hatzlacha.